I'll call the October 3rd Committee of the Whole to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Excused.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I knew former Alderman Solomon wasn't going to pull a Kaepernick, so we waited a minute. It took you a while to get up. First item two, review of the mayor's recommended budget. As has been my practice, I typically vacate my seat for this. However, Alderman Wilhelm is not available to chair the meeting, and I don't think it would be fair to Alderman Barber to throw him in the hot seat right out of the chute. So I will mediate, but I will not comment. So mayor's recommended 2017 budget. Mr. Liberto.
The budget was presented by me at the last meeting. A presentation was made. That presentation was distributed to you and put online. And copies of the budget were placed on file at the city clerk's office and at the library. Usually, as you're aware, at most committee of the whole, there are rarely motions made, but our ordinance for the budget does provide that at this committee of the whole, since whatever comes out of this meeting can change the mayor's recommended budget for what goes to the public hearing, at this meeting, you can make a motion, and the council action sheet gives you a suggested format for those motions to then modify the mayor's recommended budget for what would then go to the public at the public hearing in November. This is the first scheduled meeting. There are any additional meetings you, as the committee of the whole and aldermen, choose to schedule. To be able to go through the budgets and ask any questions that you have. Department heads are in attendance to be able to call be called up directly to address things. And other than that, the last couple years, the process you've typically followed is to sort of start at the beginning of the budget and walk through department by department and then fund by fund and see if you have any questions. You can do that or bounce around whatever direction you want. The only item that we'll bring to your attention initially, and I believe I've placed a sheet at your chair, is since we made the budget presentation to you last week, there has been one change that the state has notified us of, and that is in the
computer aid.
Exempt computer aids. You will see on the front side of that page where the two tables are, the state provided us the little table at the top half of the page identifies Franklin as having $59 million and change in computer valuation, and we use that number then to then estimate the revenue that comes from it. And a number based on that was built into the budget that was presented to you. Last Thursday, the state issued their actual notice, and that's the bottom half of the page. I've condensed them and put them on the same page for you. And they reduced their number from the estimate they provided us to only $38 million. So that on the back of the page you have, you can see the history of it. And I've put both the state's first estimate, which is the number incorporated in the budget you received, and then the state's final number. We've since tweaked it slightly. There it says 116,000, but it's actually a reduction of about 117,000. So that is one item when we get to the revenue pages in the book, if you're going straight through it, that we'll need to talk about further and address. But that's the only significant change in the budget based upon new information since it was presented.
Alderman Taylor.
So
we were looking at about 110,000 was the levy, or 105,000 increase?
110,500.
Okay, and then now this adds, this now adjusts that number. Now we have a revenue shortage of 100 and some thousand on top of that, or no? Am I?
Yes, right now that we would anticipate a revenue shortage. We do have a solution that I think we can offer that can fill that hole without requiring any additional tax levy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the next date that we would be meeting then? I mean, what like based on? I don't have that calendar. It's not. In the, it's it was in the council. Was it in the council packet? But it was the
it's
old.
In the book.
It's yeah. In the book.
Yeah.
What page is that on?
Page 14.
14. Thank you. Okay, so the next time we would meet, today's what, the
fourth?
Third?
It's the next Tuesday.
So the so what's in here, committee of the whole, that's the wrong date, right? That should have been the third instead of the fourth?
Correct.
Okay. So then the next common next time we're going to meet would be the 18th, the next common council meeting. That's when we'd be taking up the budget.
Actually, Alderman, it'll be on your agenda tomorrow evening.
Well, tomorrow, right? But I'm saying besides today and tomorrow.
Then you could take it up at any council meeting after that.
We had another committee of the whole scheduled.
The 11th?
If we need it on the 11th.
Alternate
day for committee of the whole meeting, yes, that's correct.
Oh, we could do that, right? All right. I have a couple of things I wanted to talk about.
Alderman Taylor.
In front of us, there's two things I called Mark this afternoon. There was two things that I asked. One was about the fund balance. Could you walk us through this long sheet that was put on our desk and kind of explain how the fund balance has, here we have 2012 to the current, kind of how it's fluctuated and, just how much money do we put? I mean, we had good budgets where we put money in. Is that every year we've put money in, basically? Or how, when could you go from 12 on, whether we put money in or took money out, and then currently what percentage we are within our policy of where we feel that we should have the fund balance at? There's a range, correct?
Yeah.
High to low?
There is. The policy says it should be at least 15%, and that once we exceed 30%, we should be looking at steps to bring that back down below 30%.
Where are we right now? Or where are we projected to be? I mean, when we did the 2016 budget, we had a plan.
At the end of 2015,
yep,
so coming into the current year, against our fund balance policy, we were at 31.3%.
And you can see that and that's all funds that are included. You can see that then if you look in the middle of the page where the line is.
Okay.
It says adjusted total, you move
right,
over.
Right. So then,
for 2016, we are currently projecting that the fund balance will fall to 17.6%. Now, that's because of a number of things that are happening. We chose in our current year budget to transfer $1.2 million from the general fund to the capital improvement fund, so it pulls it out of the fund balance policy.
That's the big chunk that we
That's a big chunk. The other thing that happened in 2016, we refunded one of our loans, and that added to our expenditures, which pushed the denominator up and not the numerator, and that reduced the percentage. If you adjust that out, we would then be at 20.89%.
And we have showed that to you underneath the 2016 column.
So is the number 17.6 or is it 20.89?
The number is 17.6. But if you adjust for the refunded debt, then it would be 20.9. It's a one-time occurrence of an expense because we refunded some loans.
Okay. Is that the MMSD or?
Alderman Mayor.
Sorry.
No, the fund, in April, staff came to you along with a recommendation from Ehlers and said we have existing outstanding general obligation debt that could be refinanced at a lower interest rate, saving over $400,000 to the city over a period of about 5 years. And Common Council chose to do that, so we borrowed a new $5.7 million and then used those funds to pay off the old loans. But that becomes that $5.7 million becomes an expenditure in the current year.
Okay.
Alderman Taylor still is.
Right, I'm trying to figure something out here. So then if you look at 17, if you look at 17, what is that 23%? That's what you're projecting based on the mayor's current budget right now, the way it would, if everything was perfect, everything laid out exactly.
If everything occurred the way the mayor's recommended budget was put together, it would be at 23%.
What I'm getting at is, in 2012, do we put more money when it was the budget was over? Do we have a surplus, or do we have a deficit in 2012? Same question for 13, 14. I want to know whether the last 5 years, are we collecting more money than we're spending, or, you know, what's our, that's what I'd like to know, because I have, you know, we look at the dollar amount, you know, $110,000, and now there's, you know, some computer revenue or computer aid issue that we have to come, you know, I don't want to say play with the numbers to get that $116,000 to a solution, you called it, all right? But then we still have a levy increase. And, you know, I have, a, I guess, an issue. And when, you know, it's interesting, very interesting, that when the mayor sat in the first chair, I mean, I was here for five budgets with you, and it was never voting for a tax increase, always trying to not only, you know, make amendments to slash the budget and slash departments. But then when we did have a 0% increase, that still wasn't good enough, and actually had amendments to try to reduce the levy. And that's fine. And so what I look at is we still, through all those budgets, we collected maybe more than we should have. And I'd like to know in 12, 13, 14, 15, and projected 16 each year, plus or minus, what that dollar amount is. And I don't know if that's why I don't know if you can give me the answers today. That's why I said, when do we meet again? Because I think it's important to take a look at whether or not we should be collecting, you know, raising the levy and collecting more once again than we have in the past. Or do we go with this budget? I asked the question also. The second question I asked Mark was, if we just went across the board for non-employee, what was it? Non-employee. What percentage increase?
Non-employee, non-capital.
Right.
In the general fund.
Right. It was like 2.3%. It would have to be a 2.3% across the board cut to whatever each department has and whatever those funds, capital fund, to get rid of that $110,000 levy increase. You know, instead of going there saying, okay, we could drop $15,000 out of the police department and $10,000 out of the fire. Instead of doing that, just what would just a straight across the board, what was that percentage? And that's what Mark and Paul got me today. It's 2.3%. That's one way of doing it if you want to do a 0% levy increase. Or you look at different departments and you make decisions that way. That's what we did last year. So I'm just trying to get an idea. I mean, everybody here, we have six of us plus the mayor, we can have our own way of doing this. Last year I did one way. This year I'm not quite sure what I want to do. I may very well just go with the mayor's budget or support it, but I want to know what other options we have and whether or not we've been collecting too much money over the years. And that's something I'm trying to weigh. So can you answer that question about 12, 13, 14, 15, 16?
I believe I can. I want to, one, thank the alderman for asking the question early enough in the day for us to go through.
Should have been earlier, but I was kind of tied up with some things.
Sorry?
It should have been earlier for me, but I was really tied up first thing this morning. So.
I really want to appreciate the alderman generating the question early enough so we can get you an answer. Okay. On the document in front of you is the answer to your question.
What line?
Near the, there's a double score. It says adjusted total. Beneath that is a line that's labeled change in fund balance. So that is how much the fund balance has changed from year to year to year. In 2013, the city added $1.8 million to the fund balance. In 2014, we added $230,000 to the fund balance. In 2015, we added $1.7 million to the fund balance. Our projection for the current year is that we will subtract $2.2 million from the fund balance. And for 2017, we're projected to add $634,000 to fund balance as the fund balance policy defines it.
So if I can add one more thing. So he's reported the change of all the funds that fall under the fund policy, fund balance policy, which are the ones listed above: library, solid waste, debt service, special assessment fund, capital outlay, street improvement. But as when you pose the question to me, you are also looking specifically at the general fund activities, which is usually the portion of that total collection that is referred to as the rainy day fund for our core operations. So we've spelled that out on the bottom three rows of the table in front of you. We lifted the general fund portion out, placed it at the bottom, and then applied the non-spendable portion. You've had Paul explain to you before, both here and I think at Finance Committee, that non-spendable portion where that we don't have access to, so we can't count it as available fund balance toward the policy. So it's that very bottom row then is the one where you can see probably the most applicable number if you're looking at how has our core operation fund balance for our core operations changed over time.
Is that where, so basically at for 2012, that's $6,439,000? Is that the number you're talking, using that?
That's the balance. That's not the change. It's the balance.
Right, balance.
So in 13, when the balance moves up to $7.2 million, that means the city generated $800,000 to the general fund. In 2014, when the balance goes to $6.3 million, we used $900,000. Following year, the balance goes to $6.8 million, so we generated $500,000. Now it's going to drop to four. We'll call it $5 million. We're going to use 1.8, and next year it will rise by about $1 million.
And right. That's largely because we're now, once we get past the calendar year and we get the MMSD money, most of that unspendable portion all cleans itself out. So the easiest number to see there is the 2017 estimate that has us then at the 23.4.
So what I'm trying to get at is it's not like we missed the boat by $1 million or $1.2 million. We didn't budget that horribly. I mean, it's not like, I'm talking about departments. I'm talking about police and fire and DPW and the clerk's office and all the assessors, whoever. We didn't miss it by $500,000, $600,000, $1 million. I mean, that's what these numbers show. It's kind of confusing in a way because we didn't. When it comes to actual budgeting of departments with personnel and everything else, we didn't miss it that much. We talked about maybe more overtime in the fire department, which seems to happen, and there's reasons why it happened. That's where we can't control that. But when we do a budget, it's a projection. That's all it is. But you have pretty good ideas based on history of where you're going to be, but then things happen. We didn't make a $1.2 million error when we did the budget from the 2014 budget. One point where it's like, what, $900,000? We weren't off by $900,000. It shows $900,000.
I think, Alderman.
Let me ask the question for you, because you and I are on the same exact page, and we've been on the same page regarding this forever.
Right.
And my statement to the staff, I promise not to do this, but I'm going to take liberties. My statement to the staff when I first met with them back in April of 2014 is, we're going to tighten the budget by looking at where we can do things more efficiently, and they've done that. The question, I'll ask the question instead of making a statement. What constitutes the majority of the unexpended funds in the city against budget? Is it personnel costs due to vacancies, or is it unspent line item general fund budget items?
We've never tracked year by year reconciled each dollar, but if I had to guess, I would say.
I think I'm trying to get,
I would say that the one of the larger pieces is also unanticipated revenues. We've had a number of years where revenues did better than expected, or we get a $50,000 dividend from our insurance company. That comes back to us. And so a lot of times revenues have been able to be helpful. This particular year, that's not the case. Our expenditures are right on line. Our revenues are probably going to be $300,000 short. So this year we'll finish in the general fund it's easy to see on one page of the budget, with a deficit for this year. We won't be turning money back as shown in this.
But we had... Sorry.
Is that the 287? Is that the number?
No, that 287 is that's on the line item called non-spendable.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you recall the presentation, there was a recommendation to make an advance payment to a pension fund to free up or to reduce pension obligations on an ongoing annual basis. That's the portion that would be loaned by the general fund to the two other funds, sewer and water fund, for their cut, their share of that $1 million advance. And then this would be paid back to the general fund from those funds over the subsequent 9 years.
But we budgeted in 14 for an economic development director that didn't get hired until December. That money fell to the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
City engineer had a half year. That money fell. It's that kind of thing that causes, in my view, bumps in the budget.
Positive, but maybe like good bumps. Positive. Yeah, positive bumps.
But it causes the issue that you and I both have.
Right.
As you said, personnel is probably the personnel vacancies is probably the biggest single piece that we look for that creates that and that we anticipate to fill that unexpended appropriation portion of the budget, that $400,000 plus that's in there. Mm-hmm. It is the personnel vacancies that tends to create that.
Alderman, if I can add to that conversation for you, in the 12, 13, and 14 fiscal years, oftentimes there were unexpended budgeted line items and some revenue differences that in total generated additional fund balance. For 2016, we planned in our budget a $1.7 million deficit reduction of fund balance in the general fund. We are budgeted to get almost to the dollar to that number. We're forecasting now almost to the dollar to that number. Part of it is because revenues didn't come in, and their expenditure reductions are being offset by revenue shortfalls. So where there was excess expenditures budgeted and given it, and we had got money back to the fund balance in prior years, that's not happening this year. And as staff has put together the budget for 2017, we also believe that this mayor's recommended budget is very, very tight in that there aren't any places, in staff's opinion, to really come in here and start carving out additional expenditures. Revenue enhancements, if there's some fee increases that Common Council believes needs to happen, that could generate some additional revenue, which could support some expenditures or reduce tax revenue. But we don't believe there's a whole lot of room in here for expenditure reduction, further expenditure reductions.
Alderman Taylor still has the floor, then Alderman Mayer, and then Alderman...
When it comes to, have you guys looked at what types of fees, and I'm not talking fees for our residents, because that's just another tax in a way.
There it is. What? What?
Yeah. And but fees for that, you know, developers. I mean, have you looked at any other ways to raise revenue or increase revenue from the outside more than our own residents?
The biggest one that is reflected within this budget itself is probably as far as a change in revenue is building permits. We did anticipate raising the rates 6%, so a portion of the total increase anticipates a rate increase of 6%. We also anticipated, based upon some recent discussions from the Milwaukee Area Fire Chiefs Association, whatever their acronym is, they're anticipating moving forward a recommendation to increase the rates, and I believe our ordinance ties our rates to what they approve and then take to the ICC. So we've anticipated that rate increase, which is ambulance fees. Sorry, I wasn't clear. We've also taken a good, careful look at the trend over time in the port fees, and we believe we've pushed that number to an appropriate but not very conservative number. And so we've tried to go through and where numbers were more conservative maybe in the past on the revenue side, which is generally considered a good frugal way to be, but any excess was then creating additional fund balance at the end of the year. we've pushed those numbers up to where we believe they're individually about as high as they can go at the different levels. We did not push a lot of like individual planning fees up because we were more aggressive on the building permit side and the planning side and the engineering side of development fee revenues are smaller in total. So if when we bring building permit fees through, you decide to increase some application fees on the engineering or planning department side, those could be done and probably just go to help make the building permit fees not a little more conservative.
Alderman Mayer, then Alderman D'Andrea.
Thank you. Just a couple of superficial questions before we really dig into it, but I think we're already digging into it. It's always irritating that we're held to certain standards, but then the state can just come up and change a number just like that. The $59 million down to the $38 million. Any more you can offer on that? I mean, that just because the state says? I mean, we have representatives at the state level, but let's face it. They're not really very – our representatives may be receptive to us, but the state as a whole is not receptive to us. But we're held with our feet to the fire.
That specific number is based upon reports submitted by businesses and manufacturers as to the value of the computers that they have. The state then compiles that and distributes that. We had the same problem with this line item last year. You can see in the table we provided you that last year it bounced way up, and we expected it to stay up. And then we found out late that it was cut. So this year we made sure we got the early estimate and based it off that. As soon as we found out the revised number, Paul called the one person at the Department of Revenue whose job it is to do this, who smartly took a vacation day the day after publishing the numbers to everybody. So it wasn't in Friday. I don't know if they got back to you today. I doubt it.
They have not.
So we are trying to find out if, just like we did last year, we spent about a week and a half trying to get more detailed information from them on what specifically happened that caused it. But, you know, for example, if somebody moves their data center from here to one of their other offices, and if they have multiple facilities, that could reduce the valuation here. If they wrote off in their books some computer value because it's now past their 5 years, but they're not changing it by bringing in new computers, their value could go down, and until they actually bring those new computers in and start a new depreciation. So there's a variety of things that can happen. Bottom line is the state controls the number coming from reports from the individual businesses and manufacturers concerned.
And so would that have been in April when they did their tax return?
Personal property tax returns are a separate return. They're due to the taxing authorities at the end of February. March 1st is the due date for those returns to go in.
So they would have had this information in March. It took them to
And then
hours.
The state takes time to accumulate it and review it and make their changes. As I say, in July, I believe it was, the state provided the municipalities estimates of the assessed value of computers in their districts. That's the document you first have that's labeled preliminary. And then last week they gave us the State Department of Revenue provided their final assessed values for computers to the cities for purposes of calculating this aid.
This is the second time, just as a point of interest, that the state gave information to a community the 11th hour, and the person that was responsible for the information was on vacation the next week when they were asking. That was a different community, but the same type of thing at the state. The other question I have, Mark, one of your statements, again related to the state, the reduction in manufacturing property and personal property on page V8, on page 8, reduction in manufacturing property and personal property valuations as determined by the state will simultaneously create an overlay that sees the property tax burden shift from manufacturing properties to residential properties. And I'm not questioning your... the validity of it. I'm questioning the state's insight into this, and what does that do to our 70-30 rule? If they're going to just come back and revalue things, and you may not, might be catching you off guard on this.
No, it makes us further out of whack relative to the 70-30 if the manufacturing valuation goes down.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You just put it much more articulately than I could have.
And I think the sentence in the book does explain what will happen then if the manufacturing share of the total assessed valuation goes down because of that reduction and the tax levy in total stays the same, then the residential portion is picking up a greater total share of that. So it is a transfer of tax burden to the residential section, just as if the state ever followed up with and went through with eliminating personal property tax. That would be a significant shift in tax burden to the residential properties, unless the state provided us with alternate funding to replace it in some way.
This is all interrelated, and I know you all read cover to cover your agenda for tomorrow evening, but on the last paragraph on the bottom of 126 in Paul's financial report has some other helpful information for you that's dissettling. You saw the floor open.
So one kind of related but unrelated question. I mean, we get the reports from the state, municipality reports, and the interpretations from the league and whatnot. Is there a way that we can get flagged certain things that we really need to pay attention to, and we really need to know the state's going to do this and it's a bad thing? Do we get that information? Does it just happen and then we get it?
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities does a really good job of tracking what's happening in Madison and giving us advance notice. And, you know, so when you look at the previous proposal to eliminate personal property taxes, for example, for businesses, some people support it, but from a budgetary standpoint for the city, it would not be a good thing. And they made us aware of it. They polled their membership to clearly determine that municipalities as organizations were against it. And then they worked with both the governor's office and both sides of the both houses to try and have it removed.
I guess what I'm asking, I mean, they produce the messages, but there's a lot of stuff on those usually. And unless you really read through it, it's hard to focus on exactly what's going to impact us as a city.
True, but that's not the only source. That's probably the largest and best. But even through the ICC, for example, the city of Milwaukee has one person who spends a lot of time and effort just doing these intergovernmental concerns and is a registered lobbyist. And she reports, Jennifer Gonda does a great job, and she reports back to the ICC about major changes and things she sees either coming at the state level or the status of some of them. Similarly, most of your department heads belong to peer organizations. Like, I'm a member of the Wisconsin City Managers Association. Paul's a member of the Government Finance Officers Association. Most of those have fingers throughout the different departmental level things. So sometimes Paul will hear about ideas that are coming up through the Department of Revenue that may not be in a budget, a governor's budget or a bill yet. And so we get tipped off by them for that way. Not only us, but each of the department heads often can identify things in advance of it actually becoming a statute.
So I guess the next question, and I'm on some of those too, but a lot of it is just stuff. Is there ways that when you do get a tip off that maybe you could share it with us, that maybe this is something to watch, this could be important, this is coming down the road, you know, just a quick forward, so that we're cutting through all the other stuff, and this is coming from Mark, or this is coming from Paul, or from the mayor, or the city clerk, and this is important stuff. This we need to pay attention.
Mark, I'll take care of that. Well, and we do have a state representative that was an alderman for 9 years that should be, you know what affects the city. I mean, he sat here for 9 years, 9 budgets.
But anybody can interpret it that this all affects the city. This is all important stuff, when in reality it's not necessarily all important stuff.
We do that sometimes when they come up. Like after the governor's last budget submission, you saw, I believe, I had a sheet in that summarized those top five or six things that were coming. And so we the ones that we think have a legitimate purpose or are of most significance, we do try to bring them to your attention when they're happening. I think the hotel motel tax was an example of that when we saw it coming. It had a big head of steam at the time, and the league could only get some changes to it. But it did go into place, and it's affecting you here. This is the first budget where it's affecting you, but you've been hearing about it for a couple of years now from us, probably.
I'll make sure that I get you all the stuff that I hear, because as well in your budget, under your budget, is a membership to the Urban Alliance, which is for chief executives.
But just the important stuff is all I'm looking for, not more messages.
Come on. As long as you all promise not to say, why didn't you tell me that if I don't tell you something? But there is another big thing coming.
I'm not trying to say that, Mark. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Here. I'm not trying to say that at all.
In the League of Municipalities newsletter that you get monthly, there is a legislative update. From there, it goes through, well, whatever, you don't need to know that. But I will keep you guys in the loop. The next biggest thing coming down the pipe is potential legislation on dark store assessment. This is Mark's, going to be Mark's big thing, where Walgreens, CVS, Target, et cetera, go for a reassessment at 50% of the rate, and they use vacant stores in any market as their comparables. And it's been upheld in a couple of court cases.
What?
Yeah.
Just anticipating the value of the building is equal to the value of the empty building, not to the business that's actually occurring there. Just in this year's assessment manual, it was specifically noted that they're not allowed to do that, but that hasn't gone to a court case yet, and you can probably anticipate that a couple very aggressive retailers in the state who are pursuing those and will probably take that to a
court. They're going to compare their building to a vacant building?
Exactly. They would take Target,
yeah,
and compare it to then the empty Menards building for assessed value and take you to court. And they usually won. Walgreens is doing that for just about every one of their stores.
Huh.
So that's coming down the pipe. So, yes, I'll keep you guys in the loop.
We want Walgreens in our community.
Alderman Mayor, still on the floor?
I'm good, thanks.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Paul, wasn't it last year that we got the computer aid data late? And we had to make an adjustment? So the computer aid numbers have been dropping. Or is this number similar to last year's number?
I believe you have a graph of the year-over-year change. And, yes, last year, 2015, there was a huge spike up. The city received nearly $600,000 worth of exempt computer aid in 2015. And then the taxpayer with the 50% of the city's assessed value for computers moved them back out of the city. And when the property's not here any longer, the city no longer gets those aids. Sure. My office didn't receive that information from the state until well into the budget process, and so we had to make some changes in the budget process last year.
So this year we're sure to track down the preliminary number and get that report from them, and the budget you received from us 2 weeks ago was based upon that. Turned out still not to be accurate. You can see the dot on the table we gave you where it would have been, which other than the one spike in 2015, there has been some stability to the number since this statutory change in 2011-12.
Okay. And then in regards to the fund balance numbers, if we've got projected projects in place that we don't do, how does that affect our fund balance numbers? Like, we didn't do Pleasant View Park, and that was over $400,000 budgeted in that category.
The project that you're enumerating is a project in the Capital Improvement Fund, and that fund is not part of our fund balance program.
Okay. So that has no effect on this?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Great.
One last point on this dark store thing. The one representative I did talk to about it didn't see it as an issue because it's an economic development program. It's a way to spur more corporate development in the state. So anyway.
One more question. Paul, having a fund balance just for the general public, how does that affect our rating if we want to go out and borrow money?
The fund balance is viewed by the credit rating agencies as a rainy day fund. That's your the reserves that you're going to dip into when unexpected things occur. Certainly the larger that balance is, the more reserves you have, the better the credit agencies believe that you have ability, and they'll give you higher credit ratings associated with that. Balancing that is the risk to the public of saying how many of your tax dollars are being sitting there unused. And so there's the balance between too much and too little. Our fund balance expresses that in terms of saying we want a range of 15% to 30%. And when the balance exceeds 30%, then our policy says Common Council will take action to reduce the fund balance. When the balance is beneath 15%, we'll take actions to raise the fund balance. And so we're looking for a range of 15 to 30%, which can be a fairly large number, depending on how you look at it.
Sure.
And if you look at the table we've provided, the estimate for 2017, then, with the budget you provided, is 23.4%. So we've targeted something right in the middle of that range. You don't want to be, you prefer to be above the bottom part, but there is some concern with the financial markets if you just have too much fund balance. That being in the 40%, there are some communities up in that level. That's why our policy says 30%. That is more than enough to be able to address a rainy day fund, but we've used this to be right in the middle. You'll note that in the budget presentation I did, I spent some time clearly identifying the basis and logic for any use we have for fund balance to clearly identify in a document that's a public record that we're not using it for any ongoing operating purpose. My dual reason for doing that is ultimately when you sit in front of those bonding agencies, if they look at your use of fund balance and say, you're using it for operating. No, we use it for these specific one-time purposes, which are appropriate uses for it. So that's one of the reasons that extra slide was in the presentation. It wasn't for today. It was for months from now when we might be borrowing money again.
It's your meeting. You want to go department by department? All along the mayor.
How much did the issues with the hotel tax affect the budget this year?
Well, it's really going to affect us.
If you look at page 47, which is the general fund revenue page, you can see.
What page?
47.
47. About four or five lines from the top of the page is motel room tax. Mm-hmm. Our estimate and budgeted amount for this year is $260,000, and for next year it's only $174,000, a reduction of about $85,000.
At the same time, we expect hotel revenues to actually increase in 2017. But the general fund can't receive those funds. They needs to go to the tourism agency. So it would even be a bigger number.
Okay. And then as far as the computer aid issue that we're having this year, then what pages does that affect in the budget that we have?
The revenues are on the same page. Let me try and
six lines item down. No. Farther.
In the middle of the intergovernmental
exempt period aid.
Under intergovernmental,
that's going to be the only page that's affected.
Down.
That you
Well, those will be where the revenues are reflected, yes.
But it says $60,000 net, you're down.
That's actually an increase.
Increase, right.
When we put the mayor's recommended budget together, we expected it to go up by 60.
Yeah, that's that 337 you see in that number is the dot that's on the graph I provided you on the separate.
So 221, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus 110, though?
Yeah. No.
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 We anticipated it being 337.
Right. It would be 221.
Okay. And then some of the council agreed to increase that the water sewer amount, the tax or fee, to individual property owners for the pipe that goes past their home and that kind of thing. Does that affect the budget at all for 2017?
She's talking about the caps on water and sewer main special assessments.
It went from 60% to?
Went from $60 to, I think, a cap of $110 in some cases and moved up. That would impact the budget in that the Capital Improvement Fund anticipates nearly $5 million plus in sewer and water projects connected to the baseball park commons project. And we would expect to be able to recover more of those expenditures because that special assessment caps have now been raised to match closer to what our actual expenditures are.
Do you have a dollar figure of you know, the estimate that it would have been if we would have stayed at the $60 range instead of the $110 range?
No, I don't. It would be significant, though, because the magnitude of that increase was